This is the first session on Japanese culture, Japanese and education. I'd like to start out today by getting some of your just quick impressions, sort of brainstorming on what your impressions are of Japanese education. We see lots about it in the press today. And then we'll come back to this after I talk a little bit and talk more about what we can gain from Japanese education and what perhaps they can gain from our system of education as well, or where we both need to go perhaps. So let's start with some ideas that you have about what Japanese education is about, or what it's very good at. Competitive, yes. I think you better stop saying things because
I'm not done.
But if you have one or two more things, go ahead. Anything else? And you've hit on so many good points that I feel like I might as well just leave now. So I'm like, you have pretty well together. But these are certainly the impressions that are have come across to us about Japanese education, and they get emphasized in the press around the United States. I'd like to spend the first half hour giving you a little bit of an overview of Japanese education, going from kindergarten all the way through university. Because I think we tend to hear about Japanese education at the high school level more than anything, although some of you have pointed out some other things. Perhaps many of you have heard that before kids even go to school, their mothers are very, very attentive, as came out here. Mothers continue to be very involved in the education system throughout, but certainly those early years when mothers are at home, usually not working, although mothers working out of the home is increasing in Japan, but they try to stay home at least until the children are into school and often through elementary school, at which point they feel much freer to go back to work at least part-time. But the indulgence at home is always almost spoiling from our point of view. It's something that we see about Japanese life when we compare it to the raising of kids in the United States. So they come from a home situation where they're allowed to do most everything they want to. Lots of attention from mother and from other siblings into a kindergarten situation. Now there isn't as much daycare in Japan as there is here, as you might imagine, simply because mothers are home and find it very important. But there is a strong system of kindergartens. And there's been a lot written on kindergartens in recent years in Japan because this has been one of the mysteries that at least American researchers have wanted to figure out. How do they go from such an indulgent home situation as young children and then make this transfer by the time we see them in high schools as these disciplined students who are able to work very hard and pass these very rigorous exams? And the thought is kindergarten must be a very important transition time to make that shift into a more disciplined lifestyle. Well, we find researchers that have gone to Japan to study kindergartens, the biggest difference perhaps between American kindergartens and Japanese kindergartens is the amount of freedom that they find in Japanese kindergartens. And you might have been surprised at that. Some examples that have been written by researchers who have been observers for a year or so in Japanese kindergartens. One woman was there and noticed that a little boy came into the back of the room and had brought clods of dirt and was dropping them into a fish aquarium, sometimes hitting the fish as they went down. The teacher came back to the boy and said, "Why are you doing that?" And he said, "Well, I'm feeding the fish." And she said, "Are you sure that's good for the fish?" "Yes, I'm feeding the fish." And she didn't take it any farther than that. It continued for several days. And finally, when the observer saw that she never really told the child to stop this, even though it might harm the fish, the researcher asked the teacher. And the teacher's idea on this was that the child had to discover for himself what was going on in this situation. And he wasn't going to learn it unless he discovered it himself. So the teacher telling him what was right or wrong was not the answer. Another example, children, in this case two boys, and I'm not sure what would have happened with two girls, perhaps they wouldn't have been fighting in the first place, but there were two boys fighting out in the yard, you know, really going at it with fists, and the teacher, the observer expected the teacher to step in, as probably an American teacher would have, and stop the fight. Again, she was surprised because the teacher didn't stop the fight. It just went on. And when she asked the teacher about it, the teacher said, well, that one little boy needs to have a stronger spirit. And so it's really good to see him in there fighting. We want to develop that kind of spirit. So there's a real sense of self-reliance that is trying to be encouraged in the kindergarten level. Self-reliance and also this kind of discovery. I have a Chinese friend who looks at Japan from quite a different point of view than we do. And that's a big difference he sees between Japanese and Chinese, is that Chinese are very group-oriented. I think when we look, we see both as very group-oriented. They see Chinese as more group-oriented and Japanese as some group-oriented, but very much putting stress on the idea of self-reliance, something that he sees Chinese as not doing as much. So I think that helps us to see another side of the Japanese education system that we might not always give attention to. Now, I'm not saying the group cooperation is not important at the kindergarten level. There have been studies that show that the idea of people singing songs together, of the children dancing together, that kind of activity where people need to cooperate and learn to do things together is important, certainly, and probably gets more attention than it does in our own kindergartens. Although I'm not a kindergarten expert, so I wouldn't say for sure. Another example that came up in a Japanese kindergarten was, I think this was a kindergarten in Kyoto. Probably many of you are familiar with that. It's a city of many temples, quite a beautiful city. And one day, the researcher came, and the principal said, today we're taking the whole school on a field trip. And the researcher thought, well, this is great, and took his video along to get some pictures, thinking of, surely we'll go to a temple or some beautiful garden to show the children this aesthetic experience. Well, they walked, and they walked, and they walked by several temples, and they walked by several gardens, and they didn't stop. And the researcher couldn't figure out just where they were going. And finally, they stopped in a field of mud with Coke cans sprinkled around it. And the principal said, children, this is where you need to play. And at first, the children were very hesitant and didn't want to go into it. But little by little, the more aggressive ones started to go in and pick up the Coke cans and put some water in them from the mud puddles and play with the water. And pretty soon, everyone was in there playing. When they came back to the school, the researcher said, why did you take them there? And again, this answer came, they need to learn to play. In part, I think this is a reaction to city life today, thinking that children are kept inside so much that they don't have the chance to get out and just play in a sort of wild situation or an untamed kind of situation. And so the principal thought that was important. So at kindergarten, there's not only the idea that you have to start learning how to act and sit still, but there's also this idea that you need to recognize times when you will be playing and having fun and depending on yourself. So I think throughout life, Japanese have this idea of developing at least two important sides of life, a side where you relax and know how to engage very boisterously in life, and then the other side where you do conform and know how to sit still and work hard. So in kindergarten already, you begin to see that discrimination, the importance of seeing two sides of life and being able to come inside, put on your uniform, put on your clean shoes, and sit in a classroom. On the other hand, being able to put on your sports shoes and go outside and play in the mud. That shifting is very important. As we go on to elementary school, we see not so much of the self-reliance now, but more emphasis on group cooperation. It might be interesting for you to know that Japanese classrooms at the elementary level are usually arranged with small groups sitting together. And of course, we see that a lot in our own classrooms now, I think, as well. These groups are arranged so that those who are better students are sat with those who are less good students academically. So the point is never to track students within the elementary school classrooms into, you know, the better students, the better reading groups, and the lower reading groups, but rather always to mix them up. There are no grades given at the elementary level, and projects are usually given to groups to work on. For example, one illustration that I read about, the teacher was showing the age-old example of the candle and the bottle. You know, the candle is lit, you put the bottle over it, and the flame goes out. Why was the answer? And they spent several hours in groups doing this again and again, trying to figure out what made that candle go out. And again, the researcher was surprised the time that the teacher was willing to allow groups to have this sense of discovery and guess, wrongly or rightly, about why that candle went out. She felt that the teacher gave a lot longer to the students to play with this experiment than we would have in American schools. So that the students, as a group in this case, would do a lot of interaction with each other, trying to figure out what was going on, and trying to depend on themselves to figure out where they were going. In the observations of some people who have done work in elementary schools, they often noticed that students who were the better students, if there was a question asked, would actually push the students who were not as good to stand up and talk with the idea that it was their responsibility to help these students that weren't doing as well. So almost ready to pull themselves down in order to put those students up. That's what they were going to get the teacher's blessings for, in other words. So that kind of equality is very important in Japanese society. And I want to stress that. You know, we tend to think of Japanese society as a very hierarchical society. And as I go on today, that will certainly be confirmed. However, it's very important to note as well in this elementary school experience that the importance of every person to the group is also a very important tenet that Japanese learn as they grow. So there is a kind of equality, a quality of responsibility for everybody in that group, and that everybody needs to take care of everyone else. This comes across very strongly. In social studies books at the elementary school level, we see lots of stories about people at all levels of occupation, all levels of jobs and salaries, and lots of respect for all of those jobs. This perhaps is ironic when students get up into 11th and 12th grade. Mostly what they're thinking about is the big companies and trying to get jobs in those big companies. But at the elementary school level, students have a much broader knowledge, at any rate, of the various jobs. And there's an attempt to try to give respect for various jobs. Oh, one example that was interesting that one researcher experienced was an example where a girl was called a pig one day at school. And she had been taunted as being a pig and decided that she wasn't going to come back to school. So she stayed home for several days. The teacher contacted the parent and found out that that was why she was staying home. And so the teacher talked very seriously to the class about what had happened and why this girl had stayed home. And the next day they arranged a trip of all the students in the class to go to visit her house and to say, I'm sorry, or we're sorry, won't you please come back? And she came back. And so it really, this emphasizes the responsibility of that whole classroom for including that person and making them feel included. We go on to junior high school. This is where researchers have found that we start to find more differentiation between students. So now at junior high, we're still talking about public high schools, public junior highs, I'm sorry. Compulsory education goes through the end of junior high, and that's through ninth grade still in Japan. They haven't gone on a middle school system at all. The junior high schools, like the elementary schools, and the high schools as well, to a great extent, are directed by the Department of Education. So it's a highly centralized system. The textbooks have to be approved by the Department of Education. This keeps everybody very much on the same level, also encourages and pushes people at all at the same time. But it doesn't leave a lot of difference to be had between different regions or between different parts of society. So textbooks, although there's a variety of textbooks, they all are very narrow in the range of the amount of material and so on, the kind of material that they will have in them. So in junior high, most people are still going to public neighborhood schools. However, there are some people, the cream of the crop, or those who have more money, or those whose parents are just a little more aggressive about getting them ahead, and these are who the people we usually hear about in the news, I think, who do go on to a private school in junior high. So that means in fifth grade and sixth grade, at the elementary school level, they are already going to some after-school classes, studying in the evening so that they can pass exams to get into these junior highs. And those students will then stay in a junior high, often will go into a high school without taking a test, and sometimes even can get into a college without taking a test. These are often attached to a university. Perhaps you've heard of Waseda University, which is one famous private university in Tokyo. And in fact, for those of you who are from the Northwest, Waseda University is thinking of establishing a campus in Portland at this point. So that'll be an interesting development if it happens, because it's quite a leading school in Japan. At any rate, this is one of the examples where they have a junior high and a high school. So if you can get your child enough training and get them to discipline themselves and accept your discipline to the extent that they will take a test before they go into junior high school, then they can sail through junior high school, high school, and well, at Waseda, probably not in the university, but they'll have a better chance. They'd still have to take a test, but they'd have an easier chance than other people. Sometimes you can just sail right through. However, of course, they get the pressure earlier. But for most people, they go to a neighborhood junior high school, and the pressure isn't then until junior high school to start studying for tests to get into high school. Now, this is where our system and their system, at least in structure, becomes very different. Because while we think of high school as something that's going to happen in our neighborhood or in our town or city, for them, yes, they usually stay in the same city, but they don't always stay in the same city. And even if they stay in the same city, they may go to different high schools, not the one that's near them. They would go to the one that is the one they can get into according to their level on the tests. So in junior high school, we see teachers starting to call on the students that have their hands up more often and that have studied harder, trying to encourage them, because as a junior high school, they're going to look better if they get more students into the better high schools. We start to see grades becoming very important. And in fact, at this point, I suppose another symptom of all of this happening is that we start to get some real tensions going on among students. Although violence in the schools is very little compared to the United States, it's something that Japanese worry about a lot, and it hits the news quite often. They use a term that we translate as bullying. A lot of bullying goes on in the junior high schools, and the social scientists there think that this is the time when the tension of all this hierarchy and competitiveness starts to really hit students. Of course, they've heard about it, but now they're really facing it. And there are those, of course, who are getting left out. So it tends to be the students who are doing very well in school who might get beat up by other people in the school, or it is sometimes kids who return from the United States. For example, workers who have men who have brought their families over to work in Japanese companies here, and they've spent 3 or 4 years, they bring their kids back, put them into Japanese schools. Now, mind you, they're Japanese, of course, but they've had this experience in the United States. They're acting a little bit different, and they get beat up. Sometimes there's beating up of teachers, and in rare cases, even of parents. So this is something that really does worry the Japanese, and is one thing that makes them question the validity of their system right now. Another syndrome, as they say, is I hate to go to school syndrome. And they've sort of labeled it in that way. but students who will just refuse to go to school. They just will stay home and have to be dragged bodily out to school. So there's enough of this happening that it's become something that's been recognized. It's not in huge numbers, but it's something that the Japanese are seeing as a kind of tension in their system. Moral education continues to be something that's taught in junior high and, in fact, in high school, too. When we hear about moral education, we sort of think, what is that? That must happen in the church. In fact, I have a Japanese student right now who is studying, comparing moral education in the United States and moral education in Japan at the junior high level. And she found it real easy to do that study in Japan because they have actual courses that are called moral education. And in those courses, they do a very general kind of study of what is right and what is wrong. They'll take an example of maybe a boy who has started to smoke and what can his friends do to help him. That kind of a general situation. So it's not a situation where they're teaching love the emperor or really anything that has to do with the state per se or with religion per se. They're just talking about general ways of being a good person. But this is something that they keep going throughout their school. Now, one of the other big changes in junior high school is that students start to go to juku, or these classes after school. I was over, I guess about a year and a half ago now, and they had a big report on this and on the morning TV. And of course, they will show the extreme example. But this young girl who was in junior high school had to go to after-school class from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock, 3 nights a week. And then she'd meet her father as he was getting off the subway, coming home at 10 o'clock from his work, and they'd go home together. And if I recall correctly, they asked her about what she dreamed about. And she said, "I dream about watches." And they were stressing how important time was. You know, time was just haunting her. The amount of time she had to study, the amount of time she needed in order to get enough studying done so that she could pass the exams to get into high school. Okay, why is it so important to pass these exams? The high schools, as I suggested, are ranked. So Clint and I both went to Morioka, which is a city in the northern part of the main island of Honshu. When we got out of university, and we went there to teach in two high schools. Well, the high schools are named High School Number 1, High School Number 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's where it stopped in that particular city. I was at High School Number 2, he was at High School Number 4. You can guess which one was the better high school. All right. And why was it better? Because it got more students into better universities. Number 1 high school was the one everybody wanted to get into. Now, these are public high schools. There were also private high schools in town. But that was the highest. At number 2 high school, we worried a lot because number 3 high school was starting to get more people into better colleges than we were. And so there was a lot of effort to try to educate the students as well as you could in the particular things they needed for those tests so that they would be able to get into good universities, not only for themselves, but for their families and for the reputation of the school. So it's all very tied together. At the other end of this, if they get into good universities, you're right, they're going to get into good universities and they're not going to study very hard, for the most part. But when they graduate from these universities, they are going to be ranked as they apply to companies according to which university they went to. So if you got into the University of Tokyo, which is the highest public university in Japan, you are going to be destined to be the president of a large company or the high position in the foreign ministry, Department of Education, and so on. If you look across the colleges that people have graduated from who are in high positions in Japan, practically all are University of Tokyo, University of Kyoto, a few private universities, Waseda and Keio is another one. You had an example at this is the 4th high school in Morioka. Now, Morioka is considered the Hicks from Tokyo. And And fourth high school, of course, is even lower. But you had somebody who applied how many years to the University of Tokyo?
Everyone at this high school has had a pretty good reality check, first of all, because they've been told, you're not quite good enough to make it into first, second, or third. Fourth is about right for you. But they're still on the college track because they're still in a general education high school. This one character took the exam for Tohoku University in Sendai, which would be the biggest university in the region, failed it. Studied an entire year to take the same test again to get into Tohoku University in Sendai, failed it again. I talked to him after that and I said, well, what are you going to do? Maybe they're going to lower your sights. He said, nuts. I've got this game down now. I'm going to study another year and then I'm going to take the exam for Tokyo University. And he made it. And he was the only student from that school who had ever gone to Tokyo University, and as far as I know, he still may be. But this was one individual determined far past the point of
And it's a good example of how it was worth 2 years of his life to get into the University of Tokyo. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the A's don't matter. It's the university you go to.
But then at the university, once they get in, is that really the end of it, or do they have to continue on and continue to prove themselves there?
They really don't, to any great extent. I had a student who went over and was in a university in Tokyo, and so not University of Tokyo, he was a Wasan actually, and he did a lot of interviewing of students, and many of them studied 2 to 5 hours per week. And this is as compared to high school, where they're studying 42 hours a week. I have a little chart here. Of course, that's going to be flipped for us, right? What they do in university is to do a lot of part-time work and also to do a lot of socializing. Now, you can imagine if they're studying that hard in high school, 42 hours a week, social life is minimal. Mostly they're home-centered and school-centered. There's not much beyond that. And so when they get to universities, many of them just let go. There are clubs or circles, as they call them, social clubs, often centered around some theme, sometimes volleyball or a brass band, or it could be some kind of a flower arranging, international, English speaking, various things. But they do a lot of socializing with each other. And this student of mine found that the social education of that, not only in having fun with each other, but also in learning how to relate to other people in a hierarchy. Because the fourth year students in a university would be the heads of this club. And then the third year, of course, and second. When you come in as a first year student, you are there pretty much to serve the fourth year students. And although you have fun and you're integrated in the parties, you also realize that you want to have a relationship of respect with these people above you. Closeness, but respect too. And this, I think, carries over then to the kind of relationships they'll have in the companies later. Yeah?
Do any of these kids want to go to American universities, and how's that felt?
that's a good question. Teddy, I need you. Women particularly turn up in American universities, maybe more at the postgraduate level than at the undergraduate level. But for women, they feel that although there is more possibility to get ahead than there used to be, there's still not so much, and so they often will come over here. But the thing is, for men, their parents discourage them, unless they really have been in this system because they've lived over here. There are enough. They tend to discourage boys, because if you haven't gone through the Japanese system, if you don't have a Japanese university that is ranked in the system, then how am I going to judge how well you've done? Well, if you've gone to Harvard, maybe I can question. I don't know the answer to that. Have you heard anything about that?
The campus in Japan phenomenon is fairly recent.
Yes, it is.
And I think they would rank, they'd be aware, first of all, of what type of school it is. But if you take schools that are equivalent standing to the University of Minnesota, there are probably at least 80 of them in terms of land grant or major state universities. Now, that right there is too many to rank. How can you have 80 equal universities in a ranking chart? They're kind of off the map because they are branches of U.S. universities in the first place. They kind of come in the other category.
An example of that is Asia University, who is sending students to Oregon State University, Central Washington State, and
Western Washington
is the other one, yeah. And these students come over for their sophomore year and study English. People often ask, well, you know, where does your university rate? And really, it's sort of a nouveau riche university, and it has a vision. And that's fine. It will fill a certain niche. Now, those students could go back, and they can work for American
University.
Yeah,
right.
Asia University, but I'm saying it's a new kind of university. It's just been created recently. They might be able to work for American companies in Japan, or they might be able to do simultaneous translation, or those kind of consulting kind of jobs that aren't mainstream jobs. They will have a harder time getting into the large companies, you know, Sony or Hitachi or those sort of companies, or government. So as you're on the outside, the ranking system still doesn't change all that much, these new universities.
Is it hard to get into graduate school? I mean, here we have there's a lot of competition once you get into college to get into graduate school.
Okay, that's a good question. There aren't that many people in graduate school. I guess this sort of shows that a little bit. Graduate school does not have the same meaning in Japan because there's so much education in the companies. Somebody pointed this out. They want you to graduate from college, but they don't expect that you have the training you need once you get into the company. So they'll do a lot of training once you get in there for your first several years. Therefore, they don't use the education system as a means of getting the kind of education you need to do your job. You see what I'm saying? We want somebody to go through an MBA so that they'll know what they need to do accounting and so on. Whereas in Japan, you might go through a business program, but really, most of your training will be done in the company. And that's one reason why it's not so important to go to classes in college. I mean, they actually don't go to classes a lot of times. They'll have one person go and take notes, and the copy machines will be so incredibly busy before the test, and then people will go and take the test twice a year. Yes.
Does this make them stay with the company a much longer time than in America, where people seem to be changing jobs more often?
Well, that's in flux, I would say. Certainly, comparatively, they stay with the company much longer than in the United States. But the ideal now is to be able to change jobs, to be free to change jobs. And in the first 5 years, after people get out of university, there's a lot of changing that takes place.
Could I comment there? That's a two-edged sword. If you received all your training at Hitachi after graduating from college, for example, you may feel some loyalty to Hitachi. If later on you become dissatisfied and you want to transfer to another major company, though, if you go over to Toshiba, you weren't trained in the Toshiba way, and so people from Toshiba are going to be much less willing to want to accept someone who's been trained by other hands. So it decreases your mobility that way. And then if you opt out of a major company, it'll probably be to go into a subcontractor or a smaller family-run business or something. That happens. But we don't have this mobility across major companies.
What about the corporation loyalty to the individual? It used to be kind of a whole family-type situation. Once you joined, you were taken care of for forever. Is that kind of disappearing?
It's still there. I suppose the sense of loyalty to the individual might not be quite what it was before. I'll talk about this a little bit more on Thursday. But the other factor is that there are so few college graduates now demographically. The squeeze after the baby boom has come on. There are very, very few people graduating. So the average graduate has 4 or 5 job offers. And that automatically makes corporations loyal to who they've got.
One of the things that gets stressed in the Rolin book that I have in the bookstore, it's called Japanese High Schools by Thomas Rolin, and he stresses that there is a real hierarchy that's set up in Japanese society between the poor and the rich. Now everybody has a chance in the sense that it's a test that anybody can take, right? So it's mobility according to your brains in the ideal. But the point is, there's all these schools after public school that students are sent to. If you have the money to send your children to better schools, they're going to do better in the tests. If you have the money to allow your student to take a year or two after high school, as in the example he talked about, to study more so that they can pass it into Waseda University or University of Tokyo, then you know, they're going to do better. So he really makes a point of this, that money does make a difference in the Japanese system. And those who get into these bigger universities, they not only have money, their parents have better education, they tend to be the presidents of companies and so on already. So all of that does make a difference, even though Japanese will mostly say we're from the middle class. 90% of people in Japan say they're from the middle class. But there are differences. Cindy, you had a question.
Is the education at the university level liberal arts oriented or more skill oriented?
Well, people do choose a department to go into before they go into the university. And you would rather go into a lousy department at a good university than a good department at a bad university. Right? You want to get into the higher ranked university. That's the game.
It's academically oriented, though. It's not oriented towards skills.
Right. It is academically oriented. And that's one thing I didn't cover. There are different kinds of high schools. There are vocational high schools, technical high schools, agricultural high schools, and so on. But they definitely do not have the ranking of the academic high schools. So most people want to go to the academic high schools. So you get this system where within the schools, within the high schools, and within the colleges, people are very much like each other and seem very much equal with each other. So that equality, that group equality and group cooperation that they learned back in elementary school still works very well, even at the high school level where there's all this competition going on. Because within one high school, everybody's very much alike, right? The competition tends to be between the high schools, or the ranking. So that people who are in the agricultural high school, or in high school number 4 or 5, don't notice as much that they're at the bottom of the heap, because they're with people who are like themselves. And we'll see this among companies as well. You tend to get competition between the companies, but the competition between the individuals is less. And that's one way that they deal with that competition versus cooperation problem, which I think every society has. Yeah?
Most of the people who go to the high universities have higher educated parents, and also their parents might be presidents of companies and that sort of thing, then those children often go on into their parents' businesses?
It's not uncommon at all, but not necessarily. I mean, a person who is high up in Hitachi would be real happy if their son got a job in...
MIDI.
The
Ministry of International Trade.
Because that's higher. Yeah.
Well,
but no more to securities or something like that, you know.
See, I see a lot of parallels to our education and different ages and stages.
Okay.
A lot of parallels, and then we just group people on a more random basis. I mean, I think of... Where I come from in Utah, to get into the University of Utah, anybody can do that. And maybe some of our A top students decide to go to the University of Utah. I don't know anyone in Utah that's gone to Harvard or Yale and those big colleges, what I consider still in America, the college to go to. But it's like then you fit yourself into these groups in the social order of life. Whereas here the school does it more. Yet the school does it here also.
I mean,
University of Utah is not going to be looked at by a big company like Harvard. I don't know if anybody even tries to get Harvard people at the U.
Yeah.
They wouldn't think of that. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of localized here geographically.
I think you're definitely right. I mean, to say that we don't have a social order that is created by our education system would be absolutely false. Right? We do have that order. It's created differently. I think you're right.
Probably the difference, I see the biggest difference is at elementary level. That sounds to a real difference from ours, the freedom that the children get and the encouragement from the better students to the lower students. We see Horizon programs putting kids, we just came up from Kennewick, they have a whole school where they put that higher level kids. And my friend that lives there said, she doesn't agree with that. She didn't agree with her two boys could went to that school. She said, I didn't want them to because she didn't feel that they should be put apart and felt so.
So perhaps we have more competitiveness and tracking at a lower level at elementary school.
It's very early. I think that they're playing. And then they burn out maybe. I don't know, but it sounds to me like they go through maybe at different levels and all the same thing.
Well, it's an interesting perspective. One of the things that Japanese see when they look at the American system is creativity, problem solving. At least they have this idea of the pioneer spirit. In fact, that's come into the Japanese language, pioneer spirit. The pioneer spirit that they will be able to be innovative. Whereas they see themselves in their own education system, and some people criticize, I mean, these are Japanese, criticizing their own system, saying we're too test-oriented, we do too much rote learning, too much detailed learning. These tests have incredible detail in them and a number of facts that you need to know. And we don't try to teach people how to think. And so they're coming to the United States and saying, we want whatever it is you have that can teach us, to teach our students to think better. Because in the future, we know we're not going to be able to take technology from other countries and make it better. We've got to think of new technology. So we need a new type of person than we've had in the past. And at the same time, here we are going to Japan, I think, and saying, we need good workers, right? We need educated workers. How can we get it? What is your secret? And I'm not sure what answers we have to give each other on this.
Do we have similar problems as far as home problems and things like that that then cause problems for students in school? Or are societies quite a bit different that way?
You're talking about divorce
and
so on.
Poverty,
the divorce level is quite low in Japan compared to here. Poverty is, I would say, definitely lower. I mean, there is a much smaller gap between people.
Has that caused a large difference?
I think that's definitely a difference. The parents, especially mothers, are involved in schools to a much greater extent than here. I have a friend who's a jewelry maker and is very much involved in her business. Her son is, I think, maybe a 10th grader now. And last year, he was in a very good juku, one of these private schools, after the public school in the evenings. And they bring the mothers together every once in a while. And in one of those meetings, she got personally singled out as a mother who was not giving enough attention to her child. So there's definitely pressure that comes on to mothers to stay on. And in fact, I remember another example where a boy had gotten in some kind of trouble at school. I guess he'd been caught smoking or something. And the mother was pressured by the husband to quit work and stay home because this would supposedly solve the problem. I don't know whether it did.
Is there a big discrepancy in the public elementary schools? I mean, like here in a poor area, there's a...
Yeah, that's a good question. I think not nearly to the same extent. And that's a lot because the education is so centralized. Yeah. And teachers are constantly shifted, not throughout the country, but throughout each state or prefecture, as we call them there. So that teachers are shifted, the textbooks are exactly the same, students are expected to get to certain levels at certain times. So although it's more disciplined, you do get this advantage that you're pointing out. There's not such a gap.
Is there a larger percentage of the tax, public funds that goes to education per capita than this country? Is it a higher priority when it comes to
public education as a whole? This country spends quite a bit more than Japan and other westernized countries. This is information I got as of last week. But much more of our expenditure is skewed toward higher education. That we put a great deal more of what we spend into colleges, and therefore less at the lower levels and least at primary level. Mm-hmm. So that comparatively, there's more money going into Japanese primary schools by quite a bit, and quite a bit less into their college level.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot more technology, like computers and lab work and everything else in their lower education.
They don't have more computers, for sure. They're just starting to catch up on that in their schools. And there's some emphasis on that, but in the last 10 years, we've gone far ahead of them as far as getting computers into the elementary schools and junior highs. But computers have been in our companies a lot longer than they've been in Japanese companies, too.
Right.
Being used, I mean, on everybody's desk.
For clerical use, for CAD designing and so on, obviously you've had computers. Things that mm-hmm. became possible for the first time in computers, but spreadsheets and word processors have been a fairly recent, like within the last 5 years, arrival in Japanese offices.
Yeah.
When the women don't work, does that mean they have a lower standard of living, or do the men earn more money that they can support? I mean, so many people here work because they have to,
For those people who are married to the so-called salary men, that is, the people who work in these large companies, they don't really have the necessity to do that. Wages have really kept up very well. But for people who are married to workers who are self-employed, many people have small businesses. In fact, there are a lot more small businesses than we usually think of in Japan. About two-thirds of people are employed in smaller businesses. And those people do have that need. So women will work, if there's a family business, they'll work in the family business. Or they'll do part-time work. And there's a financial need, definitely. Yeah.
Are the men very involved? I mean, I hear about the men always working till midnight. Do they spend much time with their kids?
I think that stereotype is pretty true. Actually. Although up in Morioka, which is, as I said, far enough from Tokyo to not have that same pressure to get ahead, even for the men, as well as for the young people, the fathers are much more involved with their children's lives. But there's sort of the idea that the women are responsible until the children get up to around junior high, and then when societal decisions start to have to be made for the children, then the father kicks in and starts to help decide what university you could go to. But teachers have a lot of influence in that, too. Teachers give a lot of advice to students on exactly which universities they should apply to. How many? Yeah?
I have kind of a male-female question. I mean, you can speak on it in general, but is it pretty even or whatever in the number one university in Tokyo? Is it pretty even, or does the push begin more towards the males as they, junior high, there's more expectations, and so then they take the tests and...
Yes, there is a difference in genders, and that's another thing that comes out of the Rolene book. I'm glad you brought that up. Boys will be encouraged to go into very good private high schools, and the parents will be willing to put out the money for the boys, more likely than for the girls, not in every case, but... But the real difference seems to come at the university level, because there's many more boys that go to four-year universities. It's about equal in the number of men and women who are going on to higher education after high school. But I think it's almost a half of the women are going to junior colleges, two-year colleges. And in fact, some women feel it's to their disadvantage to go to a four-year university, because it's harder for them to get jobs. It's easier if they go to a two-year university and they get a skill they can work for 5 or 6 years before they get married. If you go to a four-year university, you somehow have this expectation that you're going to get a good job and you can get promoted in the company, and there aren't that many jobs like that around. So you just have a harder time finding. Yeah.
You hear so much about class size, especially in your L'Oreal Elementary.
Oh, that's a good point.
40.
Oh, 40 people in every class. Yeah. But discipline is no problem whatsoever. The problem is getting anybody to say anything. Yeah?
I've often wondered about these tests. So much emphasis is placed on testing. Who devises these tests, and how can they be good enough to really test a person's ability and not fall into a pattern so it's easy to anticipate what kind of questions are going to be asked? How do they do that?
Well, they're, again, generated out of the Department of Education, the central unit. And the textbooks, of course, have to be calibrated so they're going to fit the tests, right? And so it all fits together in a system. It's not a testing of ability. It's a testing of ability to study the facts so that you can pass the test. And they don't even pretend that it's a kind of ability testing situation. They just don't pretend to that.
It tests your memory capacity.
Yeah, it tests memory. Did anybody see on the front of the Wall Street Journal, was it last week or the week before, where there was this new club? They were calling it a religion created in Japan for test takers, that the happiest thing you could do is be a test taker. This is an extreme. Another extreme, but still. Yeah.
Do the children go to school longer than they do here?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, too.
Does that make the education better?
That's a good question, yeah. I think that's an important question.
You always hear that.
First of all, yes, they go pretty much the same size day as we do, maybe a half an hour longer. That is from about 8:30 to 3:30 or 4. However, then on Saturdays they also go. But you see, they also have these schools after school. I think that's the big difference, really. And they've got this pressure saying, study, study. So you see here, the average number of hours in studying in high school is 42 hours a week.
Don't they go for more months, though?
They also go for more months, that's right. They only have a maybe 6 week winter vacation and 6 week summer vacation and maybe 2 weeks around the end of March. Yeah, good point. But I think this is an important question, because one of the things that we say is we want longer school years, right? Oregon has it in the legislature right now that they're going to, by 2010, have 210 days, I think it was, a 210-day school year. Yeah.
Five states have gone to 200 days.
Yeah, so is this what we need, you know? Do we need more tests? What do we need to get where we want to go?
Japanese educators are convinced that they're spending too much time in school, both hours and months, and they want to go in the direction where.
Do they do any extracurricular activities? I mean, do they have sports?
Yes, I didn't mention that. In the high schools, they have clubs, a very strong club system. And you can do sports, you can do English conversation, flower arranging, lots of different things. Students can make their mountain climbing club. And often students will spend a lot of time in those, sometimes 2 hours a day if it's a sports club. Some only one day a week they'll stay after. But there is that aspect, yes.
What percentage graduate from high school and what percentage go to the university?
I passed that out, here it was. Did I pass that out? No. Okay. Right here. Okay, in 1990, 95% of those who went to junior high went on to high school. So very high percentage for junior high to high school. And that's gone up a lot in the last 20 years. For going on from high school to university, in 19, around 86 or 7, we had 26% going on from high school to university. Now in 1990, we see only 24% going on from high school to university, which is an interesting trend. And Clint found recently that this has to do with the lack of people for jobs. There's just not enough people in Japan anymore, enough young people.
What percentage actually graduated from high school? That must be 95 or something.
The dropout rate is very low.
Yeah, very low. It's almost
a few lower income areas where I suppose the highest dropout rate you would find nationally would be something on the order of 10%, maybe, in a district.
I'm also passing out a population pyramid. Try to scatter it around.
Does that contrast, say, with here, what percentage they go from high school to university? It's much higher than that.
High school to university? Yes, it is higher. What is it? Does anybody know for sure? No, but we're saying from high school to university, though. I wonder what the percentage is of those who graduate from high school.
Who do not go on to university.
No, who do go on to university. I would have said 50% too. Yeah, so it is higher than Japan. But, you know, we use the university in a different way, definitely. I think the emphasis of having to have that as a license to get a job now is so high in our own society, and not quite as high in Japan, even now.
Are the private schools better, and are they specifically for the rich?
Some private schools are better, and some public universities are better, so I can't say in all cases. There are some cities where the best schools are definitely the private schools. But usually the absolutely best, both nationwide and locally, are the very best public schools. They have the most prestige. Then the next level will be the very best private schools. Then you'll get another level of public schools, another level of private schools. So it really depends.
But the reduction in students from 26 to 24%, the decline in students going on to college is a slice out of the center of the school population who are deciding, rather than going to a so-so university, it would be better to go into a specialized skill or trade school after high school and get such as computer drafting or an advanced technology type school. So that rather than a so-so general education, a first-rate technical skill education is starting to make its mark in the spectrum.
You hear about the suicide rate and the mental breakdown rate of these kids who are trying so hard. Is this?
Well, I can't tell you the statistics, but I do know that Japan is number one for teenage suicides. So definitely the tension is on. And we have friends who are very critical of the Japanese education system. One good example is a university couple who are both university professors who live in this city. And they had three children, one much earlier than the other two. The first one they were very lax on. They said, we don't believe in this education system. We just want you to find the best out of life. Put no pressure on. She didn't go to college. She ended up working in a department store and is married now. Probably a fine life. But on the other hand, with their two younger ones, pressure, pressure, pressure. Because they just feel like they're in that system and they have no choice. They're critical of it. But in order to have their children succeed the way they'd like them to succeed, they have to participate in the system as it is. So that's sort of an ironic example of, you know, the pressure that has to be there. They can't get away from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I've been living in Japan for 10 years, teaching at a university, and I even, last year, I had to make one of these entrance examinations. It was a terrible job.
Oh, wow.
And
I
don't know what this sort of assumption is here, but it's a very different type of education in Japan. It's not something, I would personally say, it's not something to be emulated at all, really. I mean, the hours may be longer, and there are no illiterate people at all in Japan, but it's the quality of education. It's, mm-hmm. it's as you say, they're testing their ability to memorize. And these 42 hours, it looks impressive, but they're just testing a person's ability to cram facts into his head and put them out on paper at the demanded time. They are not taught skills, even moral class, but you know, you ask them, what do you think of the Gulf War? They don't have an opinion. What do you think of abortion? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not very good. But Japan is, you know, abortion is one form of birth control.
Yeah.
They'll tell you every the date of every war in the history of man, but they can't tell you what do you think of the Gulf War. You know what I mean? They lack that, and they know they lack it.
Right. They do know it. And I think they're reaching out for something.
They've got this yearning for American education, where people are taught to think.
Yeah.
You know, some of that works really well, though, in companies. Some companies, that's probably why their companies have worked so well. I mean, it's a real discipline that they've had all through their years of schooling, and that company can just do that same thing. It fits in so well, and that's where our companies are complaining. They're saying, we're getting people that are not educated, and if we don't have those elaborate training systems in the companies, and so who's going to do this? You know, all the money's going into higher education.
Right.
It seems like companies aren't satisfied with what's being turned out.
Well, we'll talk about this some more tomorrow and throughout the week. I'll formally end now because the tape's going off at 11, and we will talk informally.